We can cry out to the Lord, and we need to, and we need to, and we need to for more. And the Lord says, seek me. Let me explain to you. Let me reveal to you what my glory is, what my glory looks like. Let me show you my glory. Let me show you what it means to be free in my glory. Let me show you where there is no striving, but there is an intentionality in the heart, where there's just a time inside where you cannot contain yourself, that everything inside, body, soul, and spirit, rises up with a holy yes and a fire in your bones. Oh, Lord, we embrace that word for us. We thank you for that. Let it be, Lord, for us today. Let it be. Thank you, Lord, for releasing your healing anointing, your delivering power. Thank you, Lord, for those who have come in with afflictions, that afflicting spirits have been loosed in the name of Jesus, and tormenting spirits have been loosed and cast off in the name of Jesus in this house. And the depression has been bound and put down under the feet of Jesus in this house. Thank you for your delivering anointing, your delivering power. Thank you, Lord, that we choose to receive from your hand. We choose to see you as our deliverer, as our healer, as the anointed one. We choose, Lord God, this day whom we serve, and we will not be relegated to what makes sense alone to our mind. Father, thank you that you are the renewer of our thinking and our mind. And Father, we flow with that in the river which breeds the great deluge, the great tsunami that we're contending for. We are embracing the trickles that we feel right now. But Lord, trickles lead to downpour. Trickles lead to outpouring. Trickles lead to great tsunamis and waves. So Lord, we embrace your waves in this season. Waves of glory. Waves of grace. Let it be. Oh. Oh. Just felt it when I was saying that at the end. I just felt a huge blast of air just hit me in the face. Just boom. So I thank you for the angels and for the whirlwinds that I'm seeing here and feeling and sensing as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we continue to climb and go forward, and that we pull in every prophetic word that has been spoken over each one of us individually. And we will not, out of false humility and pride, say, oh, no, 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 don't speak that over me. Father, we kill that in Jesus' name. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's fear. It's not you. Father, I thank you that every word of life that you've been speaking to us and through us to others will be revived right now, that we say yes. We say yes with confidence in Jesus' name. Wow. Oh. Wow. Before we release the children to Kingdom Land, just want to let you know that this Saturday, yesterday, was the end of a week of contending for our nation with a variety of people. Heidi Baker and the Banoffs and a lot of other people. And they were in D.C. for a week. And one of the prophets, an international prophet, his name is David Wagner. He gave a word, a prophetic word. And this prophetic word he gave with his head down, I guess, and his eyes closed. And he gave a word about our nation. And it also hits us right here. And so it was sent a mass email all over the country. And so we're on mailing lists, and we got it. We made copies for each one of you so that you can mark it up. Well, actually, we have 75, so one per family. And you can mark it up. You can read it on your own time as well. You can go to theshift.org, probably, DC Shift. But this is really good. And as I was reading it last night, I was reading through some of the, or all of the journals that we kept during the 24/7 prayer. And we had all of these books around, if you remember, all these journals. I was reading through them again for the second time, going, wow, God, this is amazing. And one thing that I came to was this word, and there's many, many, so I want to highlight one quickly, because it actually is in the shift. And I just wanted to read it to you so you can understand that we're in a very serious time, and God is saying, don't look at your size, look at your heart, look for me and contend for me. This word said, as I was contending for President Obama and his family, I was praying and calling out salvation for him, Michelle, and his two daughters. I saw his two daughters receiving revelation about Jesus through night visions and heavenly encounters with angels. They were all encountering the Lord himself and then running to their dad to share these experiences with him. Lord, cause President Obama's daughters to encounter the living God and use them to stir up a hunger in the White House to seek the person of truth. Everything and anything that has been exalted above the knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ, bow before the King. Let the glory of the Lord be revealed unto the entire household. Do you know where that one is? You marked it on this, right? And in this one, I just wanted to read this to let you know that we're not just playing games here. This is in the Word. It says, do not curse your president. It was by my will that I put him in office. Is it not I that sets kings and dethrones them? Am I not the Lord who knows what I am doing? Am I a God that makes mistakes? Am I a God who somehow falls or misses it? For I put Barack Hussein Obama in the White House for a season on purpose to accelerate and hasten the day of my coming, to initiate and inaugurate some end times things that had to be done. I can use anything and anyone. Get ready, says the Lord. Some of you have cursed him and can't wait for him to leave. I have blessed him with two daughters that will have dreams and visions of me, for the daughters shall be the key to his heart. Oh, it may not be a public profession or a public interaction, but before January of 2013, you will note a change. You will note humility. I am a God that humbles a man, for who can stand in my presence and live? That doesn't mean we're not declaring an outcome of the election. He's speaking about a date, but he is speaking very intentionally. And so you can go through this yourself, but think about it, because I believe that we're in a time where he is bringing a wonderful release of his love, but also correction to the body of Christ. And there are five areas of dysfunction in the body of Christ. And I can say that as I was going through these, the five areas are not prevalent in this house. And I was humbled by that, saying, Lord, there's more. But Lord, we do have fathers in this house and mothers in this house. And we are teachable. We are correctable and things like that. But the Lord says there are more things. And there's a higher place. But he also has called us a remnant. He has called us to be those who will be forerunners. We are forerunners. So therefore, we're forerunning with this word. So when you read this word, take it and ask the Lord what he wants to say to us through this, but also embrace the good. There's much good in this, and that's all good, even the bit about the correction, but there's much good. And I believe that we're stepping into a new place, and there will be many, many who will say, who do you know and what do you have? I want him. God's doing it. If you want to read through some of the prophecies, they'll be in the office. Don't check them out. Take these books and maybe go in when Cynthia's there, or Darlene or whatever, read them. Or take them in the overflow, but read them, because you will be blessed. There are many words from the Lord that he's given us. This is just an example. So bless you.
Well, just a quick thing. Well, not really a quick thing, but we just wanted to love on our pastors. It is Pastor Appreciation Month this month. Every month should be Pastor Appreciation. And we do want to hear Pastor Bill's wonderful, powerful, anointed message. So we're going to do things a little bit different this time, so he has plenty of time to share. Corporately, I know that one thing that blesses our pastors very much is spiritual children in a house that is burning and submitted to the Lord's heart. Nothing blesses them more than to see our lives burning for him. So if we could just stretch our hands out, and we're going to pray for them right now, and then before you leave today, those extra blessings that we talked about, you can hand it to them on your own before you leave. So a corporate blessing of love, power, and whatever the Lord puts on your heart, and then before you leave today, just bless them with your extra goodies. So we just thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh. Well, Father, we just thank you for life, Lord. We thank you for life, Lord Jesus. We thank you for life, Father. We thank you for your life, Lord, that is poured out, Father God, upon Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Father, for their lives, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the signs and wonders, Father God, that have followed them, Lord Jesus, and that will continue to follow them. Father, we thank you for the anointing, Lord Jesus. We thank you that they are laid down lovers, Father God, for you, Lord. And we thank you, Holy One, for everything that they give and that they are, Lord. And we just bless them today, Father God, as a body, Lord God. We just cry out for them, Lord, that there's nothing greater, Lord, than our intercession for them, Father God. Us lifting up their arms, Lord Jesus, as we walk together, Lord, as we walk out this adventure and journey with you, Lord. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you that as they're burning, Father God, that we would burn with them, Lord Jesus, that our flame in this house would be mighty and strong, Lord, for your heart, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy One, and we just bless them, Lord. We bless them as a body. We bless them as their spiritual children, Lord. We bless them, Lord. We bless them with health, Father God, with provision, Lord Jesus, with breakthrough and increase in every realm, Father God. We thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Father, just for that increase, Lord, that increase with refreshing, Father God, with refreshing, with peace, with joy, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that every dream and every desire and every word, Lord, that has been spoken over into them, Father God, shall come to pass, Lord, according to your kingdom purposes, Father. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We bless you this morning. And we just, we are just humbled, Father God, and full of thanksgiving, Lord, for these wonderful, precious pastors that you've given us, Lord God, for your spiritual parents, Lord, that you have connected us with. So we just thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We celebrate them today, Father God. And we just give a shout to the Lord, Father, for their lives. We just thank you, Lord. We bless you, Holy One. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Shoot them with some fire. Fire, Lord. My Lord. Yes, Lord. Pastor Bill better catch her because I won't do a good job.
I just bring her over here. Lord.
So again, before you leave, if you have extra blessings for them, feel free to give it to them on your own as you feel led. God bless you.
Oh, this will be good. I better roll up my sleeves for this one. Father, I do agree. I agree with all that's been prayed. I agree with all the worship that has been offered to you today. Because of that, I believe there's more that you want to do today. You've already opened the heavens in a greater way, a little bigger. Help us to receive all we're supposed to receive. We're catchers, catching the pitches that you throw to us, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. Make us very good catchers, very good receivers. Open our hearts to receive deeper and greater than ever. We thank you, Lord. You can do that in us. You can woo us into intimacy with you. Woo us into your presence. You've come. Let us step forward, not back. You've come to meet with us, to embrace us. Help us to step forward into that. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, after we went down to fire on the altar, I think that next Sunday, Mike McRae and the team, they were about ready to begin leading worship, and they thought they would have some prayer time out here. I was up tuning my guitar, minding my own business, and trying to think of what else was going to happen that morning and so on while they were down here praying. And they suddenly decided that they needed to not just, you know, oh yeah, I'm blessed, Pastor Bill. They decided that they wanted to come up on the stage and do that a little more up close and personal. And so they approached up there, and I don't think I was in that great of a receiving mode, but sometimes you are more than you realize. And I ended up going horizontal on a stool. I don't even know if I could do that again. But I was on the stool, but I was horizontal. And they were praying into me, and it just, the peace just flooded over me. It was just a grand way to start playing that guitar once I was able to again. You know, the Lord is lovingly sneaky like that. Sometimes when we're not at our best. Tuesday night I felt like sludge on a popsicle stick. And I was supposed to lead worship. How many know that that's not a very good place to be when you're supposed to lead the body into worship? But I've been there many times. And I see that the secret is not to back off, but to step forward. I'm not feeling my best. Oh, great. I can depend on the one who's always at his best. Holy Spirit wants to lead the meeting anyway. So I just try to step into his strength, power, ability, and so on. And we had so many come forward and give testimony of what they saw in the Spirit as that worship time went forward. And you know, that's the time when you can't take any credit whatsoever. Because you were the sludge. You were kind of, you know, not in the pit necessarily, but you just weren't at 100%. You weren't your best. Just kind of felt like, ugh, weight. And then as that went forward, the weight lifted, and I was joining everyone and worshiping the Lord. It's awesome when he just comes in and rescues us, don't you think? I think it is. Last time I spoke, what was the topic? Jesus. Revival. Good. What was that again? Okay. Operating in the opposite spirit. See, if a message doesn't last 2 weeks, we're in trouble. That's why I usually ask. And usually someone remembers and then everybody else, oh, yeah. And that's a good thing, you see. That's exactly right. Gee, I was going to ask for testimonies. I already gave one. It's good. Thank you. What? That I rose up in an opposite spirit on Tuesday. That was what I was giving testimony of. Did you hear that? Yeah, you heard that. Okay. Anyone have a quick testimony from the last couple of weeks of operating in the opposite spirit? Oh, was that a hand? I see a hand. You want to grab a mic? I don't know what mics we have. Oh, there's one here in the pew. There's one handy.
Well, I started a new job, and I talk to people on the phone, and I try to sell them stuff. So I'm that annoying person that calls your house, like, or calls your business, actually, you know, when you're having a stressful day, or when you started off having a good day, or when you just got your cup of coffee, or you have to go to the bathroom, and I called and I'm trying to sell you something that you really don't think that you need. And so it started off being really difficult because people would yell at me or, you know, and then hang up, or sometimes they would just hang up, and that was really hard to deal with. And, you know,
we tried to talk to Dylan about that, you know, operating in the opposite spirit.
Dylan, I mean, I've called you 25 times at this point, so I can't blame you. No. But just in talking with people on the phone, and just I try to start off the day by just telling myself, like actually thinking or saying out loud, like, I am gonna rise up in the opposite spirit with these people, and I'm gonna show them the heart of the Father, whether or not they whether or not, like, you know, they want to talk to me, or and, you know, how can I use this as an opportunity to bless them and to make their day better. And it's gone a lot better. I've been able to really bless some people, and then there's even been breakthrough in the actual job, as far as it's just been amazing. It's been a total turnaround since I've changed my perspective and really gone after it, you know, the way the Lord wants me to. And so I've been a lot more successful, and it's been a lot more satisfying. But also, like, I feel great when I'm able to call someone and they're having a bad day, and I'm able to bless them. Or someone actually called me on Friday and left me a voicemail to tell me that they weren't interested. But she appreciated how nice my voicemail was, so that's why she took the time to call me back. So then I called her back and just wanted to thank her for what a nice voicemail she left me. And then, as it turns out, they're going to buy software from us now. So so it's just been awesome, and it makes such a difference when you turn your perspective to, you know, heaven's perspective. It's making a big difference. So, and I think there's more. I know there's more. So
awesome. Thank you. Someone else? Just one more, maybe? Operating in the opposite spirit?
I had the opportunity to go to somebody this week and ask them to forgive me for something. And in the conversation, they had spoken about my inheritance. And so I rose up in claiming my inheritance in my spirit. And even though he already left, my son was here this morning, and this is a Sunday that we didn't call him and invite him, and they had to leave already. But rising up in the opposite of where he's tired, he's this or that, it's like, no, he is part of my inheritance, and he will come to know the Lord. And I looked up, and there was my son standing in the back. So Father was faithful.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, pulling my future in the now by the Spirit of God within. Earthly time is running out, but eternity's running in. Pulling my future in the now by the Spirit of God within. Earthly time is running out, but eternity's running in. Pulling my future in the now by the Spirit of God within. Earthly time is running out, but eternity's running in. Wow, we could just sing that the rest of the time. Why do we like that so much? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot just in that phrase that today we're going to try to accomplish in a short amount of time. Together. Back in the 60s, those that didn't live then, you're exempt. I don't even think they did the reruns past the 60s. Ben Casey was a show on TV. It was a show about a doctor, and of course ran into all these dramatic situations and so on. It was kind of the House of the 60s. And of course, he was a polite doctor. You know, always went according to the code of the doctor, not like House. But at the beginning of every show, they would have one of the main characters on the show. He was actor Sam Jaffe. Had kind of hair like mine, only his was puffy. Yeah, you know, kind of in a circle puffy. And he used to start with these words: man, woman, birth, death, infinity. And so, you know, you would start, and then, of course, and then it would go into the theme song, and the show would start, and you'd forget all about that. But for that one moment, you'd be like, and it'd show these symbols that he would draw them by hand. You know, the symbol for man, woman, and they'd draw the symbol for woman. Birth was like an asterisk. Death was the cross. And infinity was kind of a sideward eight. You know, if you put your pen on that, you don't ever have to take it off as you trace it. So infinity. And then I think, what is it, Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond. So we've updated it a little. But back then, you know, you would sit there for just a second, maybe seeing that and go, wow, is that all there is to life? And what's this infinity thing? What are they talking about? Today, we know that infinity is a little more defined for us. It's eternity. And we know who it will be with. That's an amazing feat. To go from that crazy show and wondering about those symbols and, oh gosh, birth, death, well, you know, infinity, oh my, to knowing who we're going to spend eternity with. And he says that you have eternal life now. Our minds have a hard time wrapping itself around that. But if we can ask Holy Spirit for the ability to wrap ourselves around a revelation that's way beyond us, it will change everything. We love the phrase, pulling the future into now. We love the phrase, let's bring heaven on earth. And we dance, we sing it, we love it. Then we go out to real life and we go, okay, how does that work? How do we bring heaven into earth? Out there in real life, in my life, today, this moment. How do I do that? How do I bring eternal life into this moment? How do I see my future pulled into this moment? That would be kind of important, wouldn't it? We keep talking about heaven come to earth. And pulling the future into now, wouldn't it be kind of important that we have some understanding of how that works in daily life? Have a, you know, we desire here as pastors to have an activation of some of these popular things we hear in the prophetic movement, in the river movement, in the revival movement. Heaven come to earth, that's on books. That's book titles. Pretty important people talk about it. Gosh, of course we're for that. But what does it mean for us moment by moment? When I come into worship, is it just a phrase? Is it just a theory in my life? Or am I actually experiencing heaven coming into my circumstances? God's righteous right arm coming into my circumstances and showing himself strong. Am I seeing the future actually brought in to this moment, and I can identify it? I actually co-labored with God and brought the future, whew, faster than it would have been. here. And some of you are saying to yourself, can't think of an example right offhand. I hope he doesn't call on me. But I'm telling you this, God's grace is so great, it's already happened to you many times, and you haven't identified it. Before you got the revelation of pulling the future into now, from other people. I didn't come up with that. I don't think it's in the Bible, you know, the phrase, pulling your future into now. But someone came up with that phrase, and it's passed across at least part of the body of Christ. And we're wanting to figure out what that all means, and we're getting testimonies from all over the place. But you might say on a daily basis, moment by moment, I can't think of when I really did pull my future into now. I'm here to encourage you. You already have. Many times. By the grace of God, before you understood the revelation. That's how great His grace is. He does things for us. In these realms that we're hearing about, heaven coming on earth, my future being pulled into my present, He's already doing them in you simply because you have faith in Him. Because all it takes for those things to happen is faith. Faith in an almighty God, a God that does the impossible. Because to us, bringing the future in the now, that's impossible. But actually, it's normal, isn't it? Let me explain by talking about a little bit about time. God is timeless. Past, present, and future are substance to Him. He can see them all at once. He can, in a sense, see them like, oh, wow. You know, they're right there for Him. Timeless. He can step into any of those areas at any time. There's a lot of cool things that you could think, and we could just kind of muse for a while on what that could mean. We met a woman this summer that started searching into some of these things, kind of redeeming your past. She called it something different, rewriting the books or something like that, but it's kind of redeeming your past, even though we've been redeemed by Jesus, to actually have memories redeemed in other people of some of the things we did to them. By God entering into the past and rewriting the books. It's like, whoa. And she had quite a few testimonies of where some of the offended people didn't know what the person was talking about when the person went and appealed to God, please, I really screwed that up. I know it's under the blood. I know Jesus forgave it. But please, rewrite the books. And that somehow they would have a conversation with the person they offended. And the person was saying, oh, no, that's not the way it was at all. It had been rewritten in the past and brought into the present. And this person, the whole thing had been redeemed in the person's mind. And it changed the way they viewed the other person. Whoa. How could that be possible? Because God is not bounded by time. There's some really cool things that can happen. In fact, for instance, this woman said that she was studying these things, and she was at a health club, and she slipped on something and fell and banged her eye right into one of those heavy pieces of equipment in the health club. And it just started to, you know, and she felt like her eyeball had basically, you know, kind of dislodged as this thing jammed into her eye. Well, she had been thinking about these things, you know, studying these things. She immediately said, I bring the healing that I will have in the future into the present. And they took pictures on their cell phone of her injury. within just a few days, her eye, not only could she see out of it and have full function of it, but you cannot tell that she had an injury with a very short amount of time. Wow, that's kind of powerful. So God is opening up some things that are going to be way over our heads. And that's okay, isn't it? But this thing about time, if he's not bounded by time, we know the enemy is. He can't tell the future. He only knows what's in the future from what Father God reveals to him. Are we bounded like that? Can we have revelation of the future? Yes, we can. Beyond the scriptures, we can have revelation of the future because that's what being prophetic is. That's one of the aspects. We can have some revelation of the future beyond what is written in the Bible because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We also have a timeless feature to us because of Holy Spirit living inside of us. The eternal life doesn't start when we die. The eternal life starts now. It's now. And so we have a timelessness inside of us because Holy Spirit lives in us and He's timeless. Isn't that right? So yeah, well, what's this got to do with the price of tea in China? That's what we're trying to get to. So hang in there. Unbelievers don't have that advantage. You say, well, they're having all the fun, they're everything, they're, you know, they're... Maybe some people say that. I don't know. They get to do whatever they want. They do not have the advantage of having eternal life. They have an eternal existence. Starting at the time they're born, their spirit lives on. Isn't that true? It's just, whom are you going to live with? Who are you going to live with? Well, for the unbeliever, they can't live with God. But they'll live on. So they're at a huge disadvantage because they have a life that lives on, but they don't have eternal life. They don't have the substance of eternal life. So they can't really pull the future into now, except if, like Steve Jobs, they have a good idea. Oh, wow, iPhone, that'd be great. Let's do that because that's kind of progressive. We think, wow, that guy, that iPhone is just, oh, man, iPad, woo! For the believer, having Holy Spirit inside with eternal life, I mean, blows anything away that any unbeliever could have going on. Because if we can be tuned into the timeless one on the inside of us and cooperate with him, listen to him, fellowship with him, enjoy him, be intimate with him, we can actually see the future brought into the present for us. God is not bound by time. I am who I am, he says, Genesis 3:14. I'm the Alpha and Omega, who was, who is to come, Revelation 1:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Before Abraham was, I am, John 8:58. On and on and on, we know the timelessness of God, but do we really believe that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us? And he's timeless. And what does that mean for us? We don't have a lid anymore. We don't have a ceiling anymore. I don't like the way that family member is acting in my family. I don't like what they've done. I don't like what they're doing. Would you like to see that family member come to Christ? Wouldn't that change a few things? may not change everything, but it could sure change eternity for them and the relationships they have in the family. You already have a promise that it's under the household. It was under the household of Lydia in Acts. It was under the household of the Philippian jailer in Acts. You claim under the household. Bring the future, their salvation, into the present by faith, by trusting. That's what God's heart is. That's what He wants. And we specifically pull those things into the present. It's a powerful thing. It's a sword we haven't been using as much as we should. The encouragement today is, just like with operating in the opposite spirit on relationships with anyone, let's operate in eternity when we do that. Let's operate with eternity, eternal life, cooperating with that inside of us, realizing there's no limits. That we can call things to be that aren't yet. And we say, bring it into the now. And the Father says, I love to give good gifts to my children. I like that prayer of faith. I think I will bring that into the now. They've got it. They see it. So unbelievers have quantity, but they don't have quality. Once born, their spirit lives on forever, but they're without eternal life. They're without the life wrapped up in their Father. Believers can, in one sense, choose to be bound by time or to be unbounded by time, because we have a timeless spirit living in our temple that we can encounter and become intimate with in order to bring heaven to earth and to pull the future into now, receiving our full inheritance and achieving our complete destiny, or not. We can choose not to. We can choose unbelief. I just don't think that could happen. Or, does God really do that? Or, does God really care about me that much? Or, isn't eternal life for after this life? We could put up a lot of roadblocks to something that's so amazingly glorious. Having eternal life and stepping into it on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. One is the path of full joy, the other is waiting for eternity to impact our lives once we pass over. We can wait for eternity to start and then start to enjoy eternal life, but no one needs to be saved in heaven. No circumstances that are adverse need to be turned around. No mountains need to be moved. No oceans need to be crossed. In heaven. That's only for now. These things are for now to be turned around. I'm getting those looks today. It gets better, really. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Blank check. Write it out. Oh, but I tried that and it didn't work. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It was a time when I walked in here just barely out of the hospital having a battle with malaria. Winning the battle, but walking like this. I came and sat at the front You were all warring. I hadn't been here for weeks. Those that were here were warring in the spirit so that Pastor Mary Pat could live. It's kind of serious stuff. Amazingly serious. Who was here that morning? Okay. Well, then you can testify to the others that it really did happen. And I came and I took my seat, and for about 40, 45 minutes, we just believed God. We brought the future healing of one of the main leaders here and my sweetheart into the present. It accelerated from at least that morning on, and if not a little bit before. Because the Lord had given a word that she had a little window in her lungs that was not filled with fluid. The rest of her lungs were filled with fluid because of the effects of malaria. She was in ICU in Cleveland University Hospital. They told the family to say goodbye to her. They wouldn't. They said, no, God's going to turn this around. We were in separate rooms with the same type of malaria. It hit her a little bit harder. She had been transferred from Akron General there by a helicopter after a seizure, having a seizure. But it was this little window. I now see that little window as that's where we pulled the future healing right through that window. Into the now. Because within just a very short amount of time after that service, I walked out completely spent. Went out to the car and someone came up and said, hey, we have a communication from some of the local pastors. As I remember it. I was kind of fuzzy back then. I said, oh, what is it? Well, the indication is they've checked the internet on this type of malaria, and she has less than 10% chance to live. Do you want me to answer the communication? I remember I said, no. No need to answer the communication. In my heart I was saying, the answer will come through the window. The answer will be brought by Father God. The answer will bring the healing from theory into reality, from heaven to earth, from the future to the present. It will be accelerated. And that's what we're all standing for and encouraging one another with. And believe me, I was encouraged after being with people warring for the life of my wife and co-laborer. So, within just a couple of days, they took out the breathing apparatus. She said, praise Jesus. You know, she's walking to the bathroom that day. They're changing her room in a very short amount of time. She's out of the hospital, and if we were to have a race, she would have been able to walk ahead of me. Now, you say, well, you know, that was nice. That was really good. Probably, you know, she was stronger than she thought. Oh, those of us that saw her in the hospital, there was no way. There was no way. I remember we were just excited that, you know, she couldn't talk because she was intubated with all these tubes. So they gave her pieces of paper. And she would take a marker and write on the pieces of paper, you know, trying to as fast as she would talk. And so when it first started, she was writing over what she had just written. It was like, well, what is that? Honey, what did you want? You know, what did you want to say here? Or what it was? Ah, well. And as she seemed to get a little bit better, She actually went on different lines. That was an encouragement. Wow. She can write on two different lines. She's made it to second grade. Woo! But to go from that, what's that? Oh, couldn't hold a pen. And it went from not being able to hold a pen to eventually writing over the top of the sentences and eventually writing sentences on different lines. We have an eyewitness, so I have to be careful here. So heaven came to earth. Things were accelerated. You know, and I know, she never had any therapy. That had, you know, that was in the offing. If you survive, respiratory therapy has to happen. But you don't have to have respiratory therapy if you have new lungs. Well, they probably weren't new. I mean, come on. Does God give new lungs? I wouldn't be going overseas if God didn't do something big. As you go over there and you preach the gospel and the Muslims say, yeah, but we got our own beliefs. And then someone's healed. Well, maybe they aren't so good. What were you saying about Jesus again? You know, people have not believed in healing, deliverance, and preached the gospel in Muslim areas, and no one comes to the Lord for years. But with signs and wonders, they come in droves. They see the fire in your eyes. They know it's the living God that's produced these signs and wonders, not you. But you have him living inside. How do I get to that place? How can I have life like that? I go in and literally put my forehead on the floor 5 times a day, and I can't get someone healed. You know, there's no one being healed in our community. Sick, the poor, or lame, stay sick, poor, and lame. But when Jesus walks through the Muslim areas, everything's breaking loose. And we're contending for more. So it's the difference between living eternal life now and enjoying all of what that could mean. And we're just discovering that, aren't we? I certainly don't have the answers to the limits of that this morning, because the limits aren't there. So what do you do with that? How do you explain that? How do I get that across? There's no limits. The ceiling's not there anymore. So the present is just a place to bring the future into. And realize some of the things that we've been wanting to see, some of us for decades. It's a new day. So I want you, and I want me, to enjoy the abundant life, not just the better life. Oh, my life's better. You know, I'm off drugs, and now I'm following Jesus, and everything's cool. Or, gee, I used to, you know, fool around, do that thing, and then, oh, I received Jesus. Things are better. We want to get to the place where we can say, are you experiencing the abundant life? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Because I'm experiencing eternal life right now. I'm able to bring the future into the present. I've seen this family member come to Christ. I've seen, you know, and they were not interested at all. But God brought their future salvation, accelerated it into the present, and now they know Jesus. All the roadblocks I saw were obliterated. Because I was claiming salvation unto my household. And it happened. That person is different. They're coming faster and faster to Jesus. It's almost like they're running to him now. And they were persecuting me not that long ago. It's an awesome way to live, to see people changed. That you can't change. You can't force them to change. You know what's best for them, but they don't want what's best for them. How does that get done then? You see, God can weave it all so that it works. When a person's heart even is a crack open, he can rush in with Holy Spirit, and suddenly people in our households are coming to Christ like this. Or they're getting their lives changed around, or they finally get revelation that puts them on a different path. And we should be, and we celebrate that here. We allow people to come up and actually tell us about that. Because that is heaven coming to earth. That is eternity rushing in. That's what we want to see more of. The question is, why be a fig tree that can grow the fruit of figs in only one season? When you can be a fig tree that grows the fruit of figs all year long in any season. If we are limited by what we think naturally, oh, that fig tree, I mean, it only grows figs during one season of the year. I mean, that's the way it is. It's just the way it is. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, there's no fruit on that fig tree. I curse you. We're like, how can he do that? The tree huggers really are upset. How could he do that? That tree was designed to only give figs during one season of the year. And Jesus expected more. But he designed it to only give figs in one season of the year. What do you suppose he was trying to tell us? We're limiting ourselves. Jesus appears to break his own Father's rules many times. Think about it. Would you just go out and walk on water today? Go out to a pond, just start walking on it? Now wait a minute, there's certain rules in physics about that. And even if you are a really good Christian, it probably isn't going to work. But it worked for Jesus, and why did he do it? Why? What's he trying to say to the disciples? He broke his own Father's laws. Stop the winds! Broke a rule. Then the disciples start eating bits of grain. Broke those rules. Said it's okay. David eats the showbread. It's okay. It's all right. Priest was only to enter the Holy of Holies once a year. David made it 24/7 worship, basically. All the time. Broke the rules. What's going on there? If there's no limits and it's eternity coming to earth inside of us, there's a lot of things we have to look at and go, oh, that no longer applies. This doesn't fit anymore. I don't understand why you people aren't bringing rams and bulls in here to sacrifice. Or at least a couple of turtle doves. Every Sunday. Well, actually, you should be here on Saturday. Why not? You know, it's just fun to see that some of these things don't apply anymore. When eternity rushes in, when eternal life in a person is in our presence, Jesus. He curses fig trees because they're not producing fruit all year long. But they weren't intended to do that. But they certainly do in heaven. They produce fruit all the time. There's not a tree in heaven that has a season of producing something. Just goes on and on and on. He's telling the disciples, don't be satisfied with that. Right after that, that's when he gives his speech about moving mountains. Now, you know, one thing to curse a fig tree, another thing to be talking about moving mountains. He just keeps upping the ante for us to take the lid off. And what does that take? A dependence on Holy Spirit. That's way over our heads. Some of you, I can tell, we're talking about things that are way over our heads. And as I try to express it, it's way over my head. It's not easy on both ends. Because if we depend on Holy Spirit, it will make more sense in a particular situation. Like the malaria situation. Or like people that we're seeing turn around and come closer to God and there's no good reason. We haven't been talking to them about the gospel. We simply have been claiming them as part of our household to come into the fruit of being a believer. And suddenly they're just more interested. There's a person in our family that has started to watch shows on TV so they can ask questions. They don't even know what to ask questions about. But whatever subject is on the TV, a spiritual program that they normally wouldn't watch, they just are watching it so they can ask intelligent questions. That person's almost there. That person is. Eternity is affecting that person. The prayer is affecting that person. The pulling the future into now for that person is happening. I said before that you've had these things happen in your life and you may not even be able to identify them. I looked back over some of my life. I'm starting to see where God's grace brought the future into my present in amazing ways. My first teaching job, I've given testimony here before, I had no qualifications for the position. And the person was thrilled that I could lead worship in a Catholic mass and I wasn't Catholic. And that's one of the reasons they hired me. Because I played guitar and sang. It was an English position. When that position went away, they actually tore down the building. It was open 77 years. I taught there 1 year in it. Destroyed it. I went in and did, you know, worship at Mass for, it was a boys' school, military boys' school, for boys, and the priest said he liked it. Told the principal of the school, I kind of like what he's doing there. I couldn't take communion, but he liked my worship. The next position of any consequence, I was substitute teaching. Position came open in the very class that he kept calling me in, principal calling me in to teach. I thought, wow, this looks like I'm in, especially with God. I'll just call this in. He called me in, gave me an interview. At the end of the interview, says, I'm not going to hire you. Wow, I'm good enough to substitute every time this teacher is gone in this class. But now that the teacher's gone, you don't want me to teach in this position. Only had a little problem with Christians. There was another one on the staff. He didn't want two of them. Because the other guy was pretty evangelistic. If I came in there, he saw trouble. But he was still touched by God to tell me that he had an interview at another school set up for me. So I showed up at the proper time at this school with this interview with the principal. He said, well, I'm not going to interview you right now. you're going to go down and spend time with teachers. Three teachers that you would be the fourth one in a team teaching situation. They have to approve you before I, you know, would even consider you. Okay. So I went down to the three teachers. I went to each classroom to visit their classroom. And all I did was ask questions and say, wow, that's a cool thing you're doing. That's what the Lord led me to do. Wow, that's a neat thing you're doing there. Well, how's that work? They, of course, teachers, you know. I am doing the thing that will change the world. They just talked on and on and on and on and on. I went back up to the principal. He says, I have to hire you. He says, in fact, I'm going to ask you the questions for the interview, but it's so that you will know the answers, because I'm going to give you the answers to the questions, because this interview is actually going to be done by the superintendent. So I will give you the answers to the questions I'm going to ask you. So don't worry about whether you're right or wrong or anything, because I'm going to give you the right answers so that you can pass the interview with the superintendent, because my teachers want you. I said, okay. So we went through the interview. He didn't give me any answers that I thought were, you know, against my conscience or anything. I went into the superintendent. Mr. Gokey, I've got an interview for you. Blah, 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 blah. Gave me all the cotton-picking same questions as this principal gave me. I looked like I was, you know, such an educator. I really did. I just could answer those confidently. And the guy says, he just told me right there, I'm going to hire you. I mean, those answers were amazing. So, of course, you know, they go to the board and they approve me and I'm in. It lasted 5 months. They sealed off the part of the building I was in. Sealed it off. This was an old school system with, you know, nice buildings, except the one I was in was kind of old, but it was, you know, still good. They sealed it off. It's like, okay, I think you want me to move on, God. Is that what you're saying? Okay. So I moved on to the next position. That position was held for me for 2 years, basically. I said, no, that can't be God, first time I heard about it, because it was moving to Ohio. I was in Michigan, land of the free, home of the brave. So I said, well, God, I'll check it out, but I really don't want to move there. And he says, well, you know, I'm not giving you any red flags. You really should go check it out. So I went down for the interview. They told me, the guy that was my friend in this area, he said, oh, don't worry about the interview. It's just a formality. It's up to you whether you want this job or not. Really? They've never met me. No, it doesn't matter. Okay. So I went in for the interview. It was kind of hard. I didn't have the cheat sheet like I had with the other interview. I didn't think I did that well, but they said, oh, you know, this was a formality. We're going to hire you. I didn't have to have all the answers. I didn't have to even do well in the interview. And so I said, God, do you want me to move to Ohio? And I kept waiting for, no. It's an evil land. You're listening to Satan. But instead, he cleared the way, the more my heart warmed to it, and so on. Got there for 25 years. So I'm thinking back, and I'm thinking, I couldn't have a bad interview. Either I'm given the answers, or because of favor, it's a formality. How does that work, God? And I'm understanding it more today than I did then. He was pulling the future into now. He knew I would need to learn those 25 years something about teaching. Because, gee whiz, I've got to do that quite often these days. Same thing happened in music. I was from a very small town, 1,500 people, if you counted cats and dogs. And the big town was across the bay, 5,000 people, way up in Michigan. And this lady in town heard me sing in a couple local talent shows. She said, that boy should go to Interlaken. Inter what? It was a place about 80 miles from where I lived. It had a national music camp that's famous to musicians and artists throughout the world because it started in the 30s, kind of in the woods, you know, and they have built this thing up, and people from all over the world came to this music camp. Well, there was a little-known academy that started in the early 60s there, and only the select, the really select out of all those gobs of people that came in for the national music camp during the summer would get selected for this school set up like a college. Go to class once or twice a day, that's it, in high school. Live in a dorm with a roommate, so on, so on, so on. So this lady talked to my parents, and they said, oh yeah, he needs to go there. I mean, I'm thinking, Mom, Dad, you don't understand. This is select. I'm just a kid from a small town, blah, blah, blah. I sing in these little talent shows. So what really helped was they sent the requirements for the entrance. I was to sing a French art song. I was to sing an Italian aria. I had no idea what the world those were. I was singing more and the Impossible Dream, and Mary Poppins tunes, you know, in the talent shows, and eventually the Beatles in the talent shows. And they wanted these high, classical things. And I said, Mom and Dad, told ya. I was kind of a homebody. You know, I really didn't want to go anywhere. See, I don't even know what an aria is. And so, like normal, my parents said, well, just sing more in the Impossible Dream. That's what you've been singing. I can't send that in to them. They'll laugh. But I thought, this is the only way to get out of it. So I had my music teacher. We did a recording of More in the Impossible Dream. It didn't fit any of the guidelines on this application at all, and we sent it in. And I thought, oh, there we go. Okay, that's the end of that. That is the end of that. And it came back accepted. 50% scholarship. And I wasn't a believer back then, you know, but I think I still was like, how did you do that? How did you do that? So I get to the school, and it's my first meeting with the vocal people. All these people that teach vocal music, they know what they're doing. And they said, yeah, we listened to the tape. We decided to accept you. But we just had one question, and I'm going, oh, no. You know, like, why did you do More in the Impossible Dream instead of doing the guidelines? They didn't say that. They said, we couldn't tell whether you were a tenor or a baritone from the tape that was sent in. Which are you? I said, well, I would think I'm a, you know, baritone. And they went, so disappointed. They thought I was a tenor. So even though the tape gave them the wrong impression, I was in. I really didn't do a whole lot there other than learn how to sing. Just learn how to sing. Not so bad. Because I do a lot of that today. I don't know if you noticed. So back then, God, again, bypassed all the guidelines, brought the future into the present, that I would be worshiping him when I was an unbeliever, and threw out the guidelines, threw out the fact I was a baritone and not a tenor. They didn't want any more baritones. They had plenty of those. Threw all that out, brought the future into the present. You're in to this prestigious school. Did I appreciate it? No, I was an unbeliever. I didn't work real hard. I didn't go after it there at that school. I didn't try to be an all-star in the choir or in the performances that they did. Didn't really. It didn't matter. He had to get me out of my small town. He had to get me out of small thinking. He had to do that, and he had to equip me for what I was going to do in the future, and he knew it, and he brought the future into now and said, I need to prepare you, so here's what your future is going to be. I have to get you there. I know you're an unbeliever now. That's no problem. Within a year of graduation of high school, I was a believer. He knows how to do that with us. But are we expecting it? Can we enjoy it? That it's right there for us. Oh, but my marriage isn't so great. I mean, it's just been bad for years. Who says it has to stay that way? You serve the God of eternity. He can turn anything around. He can bring a closeness where there isn't any. Think about it. If people have to turn around their hearts to value God, they certainly can learn how to value someone right next to them after they've learned to value God. He's good at it. So you're just a fig. For a while I was trying to think of a nickname for Bethany, so I said, I got a good one for you. How about Fig? I don't know that it's stuck really, but I thought it was cool because it stood for flooded in glory. But isn't that what I want for each one of you? To be flooded in the glory of being able to, you know, partner with God to bring the future into the present. And now there's a bit of revelation in my life. He was doing it before I had any revelation, before I even knew Jesus. He was doing that for me, and he was doing it for you. You've got to think about the course of your life. And you will be able to identify places where he brought the future into your present. He brought heaven to earth. You may not even have been a believer. You may not have been a strong believer. You may not have been a radical believer. So what will he do now if you're radical and you have some revelation? If you're radically revelationized, what will happen? I mean, the sky is absolutely the limit. No, it isn't. There is none. Can't even say that. So there's things in our lives that we kind of put the cap on. Oh, that just never turns around. It just won't turn around. Those are the very areas he can't wait to get involved in. He can't wait for you to start calling it out, decreeing, declaring. Isn't decreeing and declaring bringing the future into the present? Sure it is. You're declaring something that you don't like the way it looks right now to be different. Well, in order for it to happen, many times it has to be accelerated. A person's openness has to be accelerated so they're open enough to receive the gospel and it doesn't take the next 30 years. That's bringing the future into the present. Some of you have already seen that happen and have given testimony of that here or with some person. We just need to relish it. We need to celebrate it, enjoy it, and realize, oh my gosh, this is the way it's supposed to be, not an unusual event. Oh yeah, I had something happen to me. I had a healing. Go figure. No. It's supposed to happen a lot. A lot. And a lot. I mean, a lot. And then as we share it with one another, it builds our faith to ask for more. When you share, it encourages me to keep on asking for more. There's a lot of big things to ask for. And what I think is big, then I talk to Pastor Mary Pat, and I'm corrected. That's not really that big. And then she gets with her sister, and they start dreaming really big, and then they convince each other, oh, that's not big enough. And they keep on working on it to get bigger and bigger and bigger stuff that we're trusting God for. It's amazing. Let's take a look at Mark 11 for a minute. By the way, just as a side comment, all the people in Hebrews 11, they pulled the future into now. That's why they're in the Hall of Fame of Faith or whatever. Because they were future pullers into the now. Mark 11, 12. Now the next day when they come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, but it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Down to verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look! The fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you received them, and you will have them. Ask and your joy will be full." He's loving to give us blank checks. You have a blank check. I'm suggesting you fill it out. He just keeps doing this over and over and over again. And it takes faith to believe. Because we see a lot of things not go like we thought they should go. We say, oh, we're just not any good at pulling this future stuff into the present. We're just not any good at seeing heaven come to earth. We're just not any good at seeing healing when I pray for a person, or we're just not any good at it, we're not any good at it. That's not the thing to center on, is it? It's to center on the promise. And the promise says mountains will be removed. Fig trees will have fruit all year long. Looking to heaven, seeing what it's like up there, and saying, that's the way it should be in my body. That's the way it should be in your body. That's the way it should be in the body. And then calling those things that aren't as though they were. And we need to keep encouraging one another to do that. Because we get worn down, don't we? We see something not happen that we think should happen, and it doesn't work. It's not the way it is. We might need to keep banging on that door. Waking up the person with the bread. I want the bread. I want the whole loaf. I want the bread. I want what's mine. I'm not demanding. I'm contending. Here I am. I'm not going away. This happened with Jesus over and over and over and over again. He loved doing this with people. Woman at the well. He was supposed to be talking to her. John 4. That was a no-no. Then he leads her to salvation. That's a no-no. He wasn't supposed to be going to those that weren't of the children of Israel. Samaritans were dogs. What's he going to her for? What's he giving her the gospel for? Then she goes in. Tells a bunch of people, brings them to Jesus. He wins them, they win them, however that works. Wait, those are Gentiles. That's ahead of the plan. That wasn't supposed to happen. All of that John 4 with the Samaritan woman is against the rules, against his calling. But that woman, those people, brought the future into the present. So it became what he was going to do. Because he loves it when his children do that. He loves it. He loves when we see something ahead and we go, I want that. No, 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 no. That's not according to the rules. And he's kind of waiting to see. Yep, they're going to break the rules. They're going to go for it. It's something in heaven. It's okay. Bring it to earth. The woman with the demonized daughter. Remember her? Did a lesson on her a while back. She's a favorite of mine. She's in Matthew 15:21. And got to be careful here because there are a lot of women in the New Testament that did this, pulling things into the present from the future. So how does that work in the body? Is that we should be listening more to the voice of the women in the body of Christ? Maybe so. Pretty hard to do when in some places they're not even allowed to speak. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. See, she's a Gentile. Get rid of those Gentiles. Jesus didn't even answer her a word. Was Jesus stuck up? But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. It's almost like Jesus said, Look, the bar is too high, lady. Bar is too high. Everybody knows that. I'm not supposed to be giving what belongs to the children to little dogs. Bar is too high for you. And secretly in his heart, he's going, Will she see my heart? 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 And she did. He wears it on his sleeve. I think Jesus was smiling during some of this to her. Go ahead. Make my day. Ask me. Ask again. Don't stop. Come on, lady, you can do it. Despite the disciples, despite what everybody thinks, despite what I've said, I've given you the party line. What are you going to do? Even the little dogs get the crumbs. Now, as in that message quite a few months ago, probably more than a year old, she got the whole loaf. She didn't get crumbs. This was never about crumbs. It was about would she trust the heart of Jesus despite him setting the bar up here? Because there's no bar that can be set so high that he can't get us over it by faith. And she stepped right into it. She was pulling the future of the Gentiles are going to be blessed. The Gentiles are going to get the whole loaf. The Gentiles are going to be grafted in. The Gentiles are going to be on his heart. Right into the present. And she got a miraculous healing. Jesus wasn't even in the midst of her daughter. And she was healed. So, wow, how could you do that, Jesus? That's a little hard on that lady. What if she kind of did the standard thing? That's the point. We can't just look at all the roadblocks, all the high bars, mountains that seem so high. Because our God can lower them in an instant so that we can just kind of jump over the top of a mountain like nothing. It's nothing. That's what it is to pull the future into the present. That's what it means to bring heaven to earth. It's supposed to happen in our lives daily, moment by moment. Things that look impossible in finances and things that look impossible in emotional healing. Things on the inside that just seem like, I can't forgive. Can't forgive that. We have the spirit of eternity inside of us. Of course that can be forgiven. Of course we can be healed up enough to give forgiveness to another person, to operate in the opposite spirit. It's our nature. It's our real nature. Now that we have the Spirit of God inside of us. It's not the other way around. Well, we're just sinners saved by grace. Sinners, sinners, sinners. Sinners, sinners. We're sinners. We're sinners and we're sinners. So we can't get anywhere. We can't jump the hurdles. We can't really, you know, get this stuff. This revelation's way over our heads. We've got to quit thinking that we're sinners. You're not. It's been paid for. The past. Washed away. Forgotten. To the point that he can rewrite the books. That's a possibility. Even in the way we've hurt someone else. Why? Because he just sits there with eternity like this. Time is... He can just... It's substance to him that he can come in and touch any point along it. And it doesn't shake it up. It doesn't bother it like some of the movies. Well, if you go in there and change time, then everything will be out of whack. Well, of course, you're not God. God can do it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's not entered into the heart of any man. What does that sound like? That sounds like things that would amaze us, would astound us. Exactly. That's bringing things of the future into the now, right now. That's bringing heaven to earth. We're supposed to be astounded, walk around astounded. You know what God did for me this week? And I've heard some of you. I love it when I walk into you and you're astounded. It's the coolest thing. You're like blubbering. You're like just... God did this for me. And God... And you know what? I know exactly what you're saying. I don't sit there and say, you know, I didn't understand that part. I just, you know, it's almost like, oh, let's just dance together. Woo! God did it again. God did it again. Ha! Woo! Ha! You know, that's what it's supposed to be. Your joy will be full because he answers what you ask. You know, and it's fun just to see a blubbering person just trying to give a testimony. It's a blast. I can't even understand half of it. It's okay. Some people are crying in their brain. That's a real fun one. But it's because we're supposed to be astounded. It's things that we wouldn't imagine he would do. Ephesians 3:20, above all that we can ask or think. Some versions say imagine. Anything that we can even dream of, he's going to exceed it. Why can't that be today? Are you going to be a better Christian 20 years from now? You're going to be closer to Jesus 20 years from now? If you're not, there's no sense being here today. Just thought I'd let you know. Because you want to go for the long haul. You want to go for the race that crosses the line. And, woohoo! Winner! Well done, my good, faithful servant. Woohoo! That's me. So if you're going to be better 20 years from now, why not just bring that into the present? You're going to understand more then? Well, I'll just bring me into the me of the present. I'm going to be much more bold 20 years from now. I know I will be. I'm going to be bold for Jesus. Let's just bring that into the present. Be bold now. Bring all of that right into now. All that knowing Jesus. And then, see, you start from there then and increase. Oh, that's great. You mean I can start from a place where I'll be 20 years from now and that's my floor and I can start heading for the ceiling again. Oh, yeah. And then, hey, if you think about it, just pull in that next level from glory to
glory.
Why can't we do that? Of course he wants that. It's the lowering of the mountain. So we can just kind of step on the top of it. You know, we're going to climb the mountain. We're going to ask God, what steps do I take? Holy Spirit, lead me. I want to cooperate with you. I want to co-labor with you. I want to co-partner with you. Yeah. But what he does then is lowers the mountain. I love that. Because that means, wow, we're going to really impact the nations. That means those nations can be called into their destiny when we arrive there on their shores. God, I know that it might take, like, you know, a long time to win Ghana here, but why don't you just, now that we have put our feet on this shore, why don't you just bring that into the present now? Why don't you just break it loose while we're here and change Ghana while we're here? Change Mozambique. Change India. Change, you know, it's just doing what we want to see happen in our lives. It's just for a nation. You know, nations, same thing. Right there in his hands. They're not like big and God's going, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Oh, there's so many there in that nation. I mean, there's like over a billion in China. There's over a billion in India. Which one, India, China? I don't know. No, he's not shook up like that. He's like, why don't you just call it in? I'm going to get it done. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. And I really would like a lot of them to bow before I come back, so why don't we just call that in, those nations. Bend their knees now. And when you show up on that shore, when you're praying from this shore, things break loose. Some of you were here the night that we were praying for India, and we just had this belief that kids were being rescued. Well, actually, Southeast Asia. And kids were just, that were in the sex trade, they were with their captors, and suddenly they saw a way of escape. Go for it! You know, escape! We're blessing you with that! You see it? Go! 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 And we had a real sense that people, kids were rescued that night without us being there. But we were still ministering. Well, that's kind of crazy. You don't have any like verifiable evidence. A lot of miracles, we don't have a lot of verifiable evidence, and I think God does it on purpose. All those guys looking for the ark. There it is. Oh, it moved. It was right here on the mountain. We took pictures of it. Next time they go up there, what happened to it? Can't you just see the finger of God just taking the ark and going, whoop. Ararat's a pretty big mountain.
Oh, it's over here. It's over here. Because if, you know, if we, everybody finds the ark and all that, then the ark's going to be like raised up and... And actually, I want safety in the ark that is my father. That's what I want for people. I don't want them thinking, oh, we need to go look at the ark in the museum. They found it. They actually found it. What does that mean? And they're concentrating on the ark, the shell. It was the miracle of God saving those people that was the cool thing. Okay, rambling on there. Need to finish up. So what do you think? Redeem the time? See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time would seem to me, now that we've discussed this, bringing eternity into now, bringing what is ahead of us into now because God's already ahead of us. He already sees what's best. One of the descriptions of Jehovah Jireh, you know, God is our provider, is the God that sees ahead who provides. So our Jehovah Jireh might take on a little bit different picture if we think of that definition of his name. He sees ahead what's coming. He knows exactly what we need now to make it there. And he may have to bring it all, the whole package, into the now for it to happen. Any problem with that? No. He likes it. He likes it. Because it exhibits faith when we do this with him. It works in real life. How many have had a healing in here? You know, it was a healing. How many of those healings you had a belief as a real healing from God because of the acceleration of it? Okay. And, you know, doctors will, I'm sure, would weigh in on that if they're unbelievers. If they're believing doctors, they're going to look at it entirely different. This, you know, doctors, two different doctors are going to look at that two different ways. Am I going to trust doctors? How they look at the healings that we experience? No, I'd rather trust the testimony that you give. And I wasn't expecting for it to turn around that quick, and the bruise was gone in like such a short amount of time. That couldn't be. I mean, I've had a bruise before, and it's lasted for months. That shoulder the last time took months to heal, and it was just like days this time. You need to pay attention to those things. Any acceleration. Because that means the future is being brought into the present right now. It's not like you have to leave here and suddenly say, okay, I think I'll start on this whole thing. No, what I would do first is identify what God has already done to bring your future into your present. Go through some of the points of your history, your personal history, and say, oh, I get it! He was doing that. He was preparing me. He was doing this for me, for what I'm doing now. Wow! And, you know, do the dance of joy. That's his fullness of joy. It's okay. Act like a fool. It brings glory to him to realize these things. Oh! And if you've realized them, realize them deeper. How he was working in every little area. When I had my ankle that was broken in three places, so many of you prayed over it. Many had pictures and words and so on. And I enjoyed the presence of the Lord during that time of a broken ankle, believing it was going to be healed. Didn't know what day. Didn't know how accelerated it would be. Didn't know. But it was healed without surgery, as many of you know. But one of the ones I remember was one I had for my own ankle that I was
in my chair at home, and many people had come over and prayed for it and given words already, and some of them were so cool. And I would see it in the spirit, and I'd look at my ankle. My ankle was in a different position than the way I saw it in the spirit, but I believed what was happening in the spirit more than my own physical ankle. Are you with me? That's bringing heaven to earth. You believe what you see in the spirit because it's so real, more than what you see in the physical that used to be really real. Woo! That was good music right at the right time. But it needed to be like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Because, you know, it sounds a little funny. Oh, yeah, you can see your ankle, but you're thinking you can see in the spirit better than you can see your ankle. You better. Because that's what's coming. That's where God lives. That's where he loves to be. And that's what the body of Christ for so long was saying. Oh, that's dangerous. Oh, my gosh. Somebody might, like, go to Timbuktu and start preaching the gospel. Oh, that'd be tragic. By mistake. Okay. And there's a problem. They can always fly home. But the one I remember is just like the finger of God coming down just so easily, went right through the skin of my ankle, right to the bones, easily just moved around between the bones, just healing the bones, just bringing the bones and the ligaments and the tendons and muscles all back together. I could have stayed there for hours. In fact, I stayed there a while. It was just so soothing, so comforting. I woke up expecting to walk on that ankle. Now, it didn't happen. But in the spirit, I was already soaring. I was already walking in my spirit. It hadn't manifested in my ankle. And it didn't for months later. But when it did, all it did was line up with what I was already seeing. I had already brought the future into my presence and was enjoying it before the ankle was ever healed. And many of you spoke into that and helped me with that. Because, you know, I don't know if you've had a situation with your foot or ankle or anything, but you just can't do anything. You know, you don't have one arm, you have another, and you can get by. There's something about walking it to do things. It's just something. But you guys came, and I just remember so many good things being shared, and just in my spirit, it was leaping and joyful and happy so much of that time. And I would go in and hear the good report from the doctor. And it's still together. Still together. Those bones are still healing. They're still lined up. And you all spoke into that. You brought a healing into my present. Took a little while for it to be laid out. But now it looks like a blip on the screen as I look back. Wow, that didn't really take that long at all. During that time, it seemed like it was taking forever. But when you look back, wow, he did it. He just brought that healing right to it and involved so many of you. I like that. We should be doing that for one another, standing for one another that way. It's easy for standing, you know, in a sense, for a pastor that's sitting up here with his leg up every Sunday. You can kind of tell, we should probably pray for him. But if someone comes in here and says, you know, I've got a physical need, I love how you go to them and do the same thing for them. It's awesome. So, Father, we're just going to believe for what you want to bring into each life here today. I would suggest that in your heart, each person here, that you would identify something that you want brought from the future, accelerated to bring it into your present. Something that you thought would take so long or would just be impossible. Claim that. And as we pray together, we're going to pray to bring that right into your future reality. I would identify at least one thing. two and maybe leave it at that for now. And then afterwards, you can obviously have at it. Father, I believe you're speaking through your Holy Spirit to each person of something that they've thought is impossible, or that they've longed for this to be accelerated and brought to reality right now. And so, right now, I'm declaring future, come into the present in every one of these situations, in every one of these heart things, desires of the heart. You love it because our desires come and are purified by us just spending time with you. Desires aren't wrong. If we've spent enough time with you, we'll have the right desires. We call those things that are not as though they were. We bring the future into the present. We say this is a huge part about heaven coming to earth. We say now. Now for these desires to be fulfilled. Now for this to be answered so your fullness of joy can come. Now we're knocking on the door in faith. We're saying now, now, now is the time. And we rejoice because we can see it. We can see it happening. Like my ankle, we can see it happening. We see that person bending their knee to Jesus. We see that healing in your body coming to pass. Chronic problem being healed right now. We see that prodigal coming home to Jesus, coming home to Father's embrace. We see them walking out of that pit and running towards the Father. We want an increase more than the prodigal son. We want them to run towards the Father. Acceleration. We see that heartache from the past that you've had a hard time forgiving, and you want that person to change. Forgive them as part of this process. Don't expect them to have the total turnaround. You can enhance that process by forgiving them fully. And then we call them back into alignment with the plan of God and the destiny for their life. All in destinies. People have desires to be in certain careers, to be at a certain place in life, to have their finances healed. We bring all of those things into present reality of fullness, of blessing, of favor, of Father's touch all over them. We bring into the present a healing inside of someone's heart that they have thought would take a long, long time. Today is your day. Now is your time. Your future is here. For those that have desired to minister in amazing ways for the kingdom, humbly today, ask Father to bring that into your present and be empowered to do the very ministry to people that you want to do. Yes, Lord, we call all these things in and many more. You're not leaving anyone out today. Every person has something in their heart that needs accelerated bringing from the future into the present. We thank you for your answer. And we give the dance of joy. Because you love to answer. You're not withholding. You're generous. You're the most generous person. Thank you, Father. Give us evidence that these things are done or shortly on their way. Give us evidence. Give us evidence, Father. We can see it now in the Spirit. Give us evidence in people's lives, in our own life, in our ministries, in our own heart. Give us evidence. Thank you, Father. We're ready for the testimonies. We are ready to hear them over the next few weeks. It'll be glorious. We thank you already for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing that we did want to mention today, and it'll be ongoing for a couple of weeks to let you prepare. We have a situation in the country of Ghana, which we minister to quite often. We have land in the north and land in the south. This summer we spent a lot of time in the north building a building up there so that we can go there and minister and so on. We have some land in the south. And just to be brief, the way it is in Ghana is like the Wild West. The chiefs own the land. They pretty much decide whether you keep the land or not, in many cases. So the way they do that is if you don't have something built on the land in a certain amount of time, they start reselling it. And if you find out about it, if you're fortunate enough to find out about it, you go to the chief and say, hey, there's a structure on my land. What happened here? Oh, we sold it to somebody. So we'll either give you another piece of land or somehow, maybe, possibly, we might pay you the original price you paid for it, even though the land is worth more now. It's a very interesting system. The reason it is this way is because they want the country to be built up. They want people to build things on land that you have. It's not like here you can have an open lot for years and years and years and years. Nobody's going to touch it. It's your land. It's paperwork has gone through. There, your paperwork can go through, and you don't really own the land. The chief does, and he comes in, resells it, doesn't tell you. You just find out about it. So we had a recent situation in several months, where someone had come to that southern land. We've already been switched from one piece of land to another, but as is with God, it was improved. Improved land. The land we had before was good, but it kind of had this slope to it and went into a ditch. And when the rains came, it looked great during the dry season. In the rainy season, the ditch would, you know, fill up and it's like, ugh. So this chief switched lands on us, sold a piece of property. And we said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, I'll give you land in this other area. We went to see that land and was like, wow. And it was more. So the favor of God kicked in despite their system. But with that land now, someone had kind of come along and gave the story that their truck broke down and, we just had to offload all these blocks onto the land, you know, because our truck broke down. That was the story in the area that they passed around. And so kind of in the from sundown on, that's when they build these walls up, and if they get them so high, then you're not supposed to tear them down. And they get, you know, they get to start their process of owning that land, and you have to figure out what to do. So they started, you know, making a foundation, but by God's grace, we got there in time, and they ended the work. First they said, you know, well, we talked to the chief and we actually paid money to the chief, which often happens. And so we have a right to build, and there was a little discussion, and eventually they relented and they're after their money with the chief, who, gee whiz, doesn't have it anymore. Huh. Go figure. So this is the way it is, and then the courts are all tied up for years and years and years. So we've been trusting the favor of God all this time. And he's helped us out in all these situations even when we can't be there. There's actually little birdies that call Pastor Samuel and say, hey, we think something's going on in the land. There's a great big bunch of blocks on it, like 2,000. You think? You know. So, you know, he'll rush over there and try to meet the people. And, of course, they're never around until after sundown because that's when they want to build. But he eventually met with them. And I think all the blocks are gone except for 600, so he thinks they're selling them off to someone. But he's still keeping an eye on the land. But the chief now has sent people by to see if there's any building going on our land, which means he's getting ready to resell it again. So Pastor Samuel met with these people and said, you know, we're going to build something here on this land and so on. So what often happens is you either build a wall around it, is what we did on the first land. We started to build a wall around it, and that kind of kept the intruders out. Or you build a guardhouse on the land, and someone can go and live in that guardhouse and kind of keep the intruders out, you know, the Wild West people that want to take over the land. Oh, they're putting blocks on the land. No. Now stop that. You know. They live in the guardhouse and do that. It would be smaller than the guardhouse that we have in the north, according to Pastor Samuel. And so we're offering that to the body, you know, between now and, say, Thanksgiving, as one of our projects that we are asking, informing you about, so you can ask Holy Spirit whether you're to give to that project of securing the land by building a guardhouse. We've decided that we don't want to build a fence because the idea is that we are intending on selling this piece of land and moving our resources to the north because that's where God has led us. So the land has increased in value and we've been given a better piece of land over the years and all of that. We see that as God's stepping stone to the north. He wanted to get us into the country, get us thinking about land and figuring out all the crazy stuff about land in Ghana before we faced what we faced in the north with trying to secure that land. And that land grew. I mean, we thought it was 9 acres, and lo and behold, when it was actually surveyed, it was 22 acres. It grew. Go figure. How does a piece of land grow? But it did. And so God is favoring in all these things, but we do need to take care of business if we want to make, you know, put less pressure on the people that are there actually watching it and trying, you know, driving by. It's not a huge long distance for Pastor Samuel, but it, you know, he's trying to do a ministry and he has to stop by and check on our land. Where if we had a guardhouse there and someone staying there, he wouldn't have to check on it and he could go about his business. Yeah, so we're thinking, you know, I don't have a firm estimate on it yet, but we're thinking it's in the, you know, 1,500 to 3,000 area, right in there somewhere, that would take to build this little guardhouse. So obviously if we don't, you know, if it's cheaper than that or something, or he gets a bargain, doesn't often happen in Ghana, but if we were to get some kind of bargain or whether we have plenty of things we still need to do on the land in the north. So the excess from that would go towards that. But if you know, if Holy Spirit leads you to give to that project, that's how we handle things here. You would write it on your envelope, you know, Ghana project or Ghana land, and we'll know it's for this specific project. You'd make your checks to, you know, Frontline like normal, but you'd make sure that on your envelope, be a good thing to put this one in an envelope so you could clearly mark it so that it goes towards that project. So we'll be mentioning that maybe until Thanksgiving and see if we can get that taken care of. I might again say to you that I appreciate the giving here. We bring up these special projects and then we do really leave it to you in Holy Spirit, and it's just amazing what God has done over the years. And especially recently, I think I shared with some of you or at least shared here before, that God has, every time we've just asked for an offering, if we took 2 minutes or we took 10 minutes to explain it or whatever, it just seems like it's gone over and above what we could have hoped or imagined. So we're actually, in our finances here, pulling the future into now. We're wanting that, and you are participating in that. So that's why I don't come to you individually and take your arm behind your back and pull your wallet or purse off your arm or out of your pocket or whatever. Because God has just been so faithful to take care of it as we group together as a family. So thank you for listening to that. And we have anything else before we close? It was a couple birthdays. Oh, that's good. Oh, he didn't. He didn't.